in complete dependence upon our Lord to help us, that he may open up to us the gracious truth of his holy word, giving us those hearts to receive it. I'd ask your prayerful attention by way of text to a verse we find in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 3 and verse 10. Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 10. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. This 10th verse of this 3rd chapter of Isaiah's prophecy. This chapter, dear friends, is a most solemn chapter. It's the Lord's wrath, the Lord's anger, the Lord's judgment on account of the sins of his people. The threatening of that which was to come to pass in the taking away of all that was needful on account of sin. The Lord looked upon the people and he saw their great transgressions. He saw how they delighted in their outward walk, their outward appearance, their pride, their self-will. There was no fear of God before their eyes. It tells of the mighty man, the judge, the prophet, the prudent, the eloquent orator, the cunning artificer, and all those which have earthly power and esteem. They would all come to nothing. They would all be destroyed. No fear of God before their eyes. Their sin is Sodom and they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Dear friends, such is the nature of man on account of sin. How sorrow. But then we have this verse. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him. What a contrast. Throughout the scriptures, we read much of the death of man upon mankind upon this earth, of all creatures upon this earth. And whether one is of the righteous or of the wicked, dear friends, the end is death of this earthly life. There is no difference. We may, as we walk through this earthly life, contemplate many things regarding ourselves and our own heart will seek to establish us that we are far better than others. But this righteousness, say ye to the righteous, it is not of those who are righteous in their own eyes. There are many things that are done right in accordance with the word of God, and I trust we seek to do that. We seek to be kind one to another. We seek to do those things which are in accordance with the commands and statutes of God, in accordance with his word. There's a righteousness, a religious righteousness of our outward walk. And yet, we are not upright in our heart. We heard of that, didn't we, in Psalm 32, I think it was. The upright in their heart, they are the ones who shout for joy. But not those who are righteous in themselves, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. We shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. We're appointed unto death, yes. And after that, the judgment. How solemn if the righteousness we possess is just of ourselves. It's been appointed to each one of us to be born. And it is appointed to each one of us one day to die. These appointments are of God. And everything between that day of our birth and the day of our death, dear friends, are appointed of God. Everything is under his all-seeing eye. And he performs all things according to his sovereign will. We perhaps often sing that hymn, Sovereign Ruler of the Skies, ever gracious, ever wise. All my times are in thy hand, all events at thy command. Now in our earthly life we have many different changing scenes, many different events. We all experience different things to different degrees. We're all different in our characters, in our abilities. And our earthly lives in all their detail can be very different one from another. And they are. What a mercy. If in the midst of all the things of our earthly life, we come to know the one thing needful. The one thing needful. The one thing that will carry us through the time of death, through the time of judgment, into everlasting life. We have many needs upon this earth. And there's a faithful, gracious God that is able to supply all our needs. And he does. He has been faithful, hasn't he, to us unto this day. Our earthly needs have been supplied, even through those times perhaps of troubles and bereavements and sadnesses and great difficulties. He has not brought us into despair. He has not rewarded us according to our sins. Dear friends, we are here this morning through the mercy of God. It's of his mercy we are not consumed. Oh, to be given the wisdom and the light upon the truth that we are such unworthy sinners. For that knowledge, dear friends, of that truth will draw us to seek for the salvation of our souls. that we shall be found righteous in the eyes of a holy God. For only that holiness in the sight of a holy God will carry us into eternity to hear that gracious judgment. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Dear friends, that doesn't come by our own works and our own labours, does it? Oh, our dreadful hearts within us, sinners all our days. And yet, what a sentence. Thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee. A complete cleansing from all sin. Now in other parts of the scripture, these that are righteous are also called saints. And Psalm 50 gives us a definition of a saint. One who has made a covenant with God by sacrifice. One who's made a covenant with God. By sacrifice. Now, dear friends, that's not a covenant of works. Of course, the covenant of works is that which no one can attain unto. And although there might be much sacrifice in the covenant of works, as it is under the law, where the Jews, the Israelites, brought their lambs, their bullocks, their goats, as demanded by the law, as a sacrifice for their sin. Dear friends, it only cleansed them from the outward sin that they had committed. It did nothing to cleanse their soul. Their heart was still the same within them. And their heart that continued to initiate many, many sins. Dear friends, they had to come again and again and again, didn't they? To bring their lambs, their bullocks and their goats. So that they were acceptable. Acceptable in the outward form. To continue as a Jew. But we read, not in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, that the Lord would bring in and make a new covenant. A covenant that was not of works, but a covenant of grace. The days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, no. which covenant they break. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God. They shall be my people. I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. What a covenant. The word of God's truth applied to the heart, written there, made known there. This covenant of the forgiveness of sins, the forgive their iniquity. Remember their sin no more. And the Apostle Paul, writing of this covenant, says concerning Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant, the mediator of the new covenant, that through him, his coming upon this earth, the divine Son of God, to give his life, shed his blood a sacrifice for the sins of many. There would be this covenant of the Lord's grace made known here upon this earth for the salvation of sinners. Not again and again and again, but once and forever. Once will I blot out all their transgressions. Once, and I will love them freely. Once, that there be no more sacrifice for sin. God gave his only begotten Son, that those who believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, and so is the exhortation, isn't it, to sinners, to those that are taught by the spirit of their sin, and they thirst to know this covenant of grace. They thirst to know this righteousness which is wrought out through Jesus, who was made a sin for them, bearing their sins, that they may be made the righteousness of God in him. O, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. How do they come? Guilty sinners, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. The sure mercies of David. Oh, he was a sinner, wasn't he? We read of David's sins. We hear of the covenant, the everlasting covenant given to David. I have put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. That's spiritually. Thou shalt not die. Oh, Jesus himself said, doesn't he, to those that labour and are heavy laden, come ye unto me, all ye that labour and a heavy laden spiritually. I will give thee rest. I will give thee rest. Rest in the knowledge of the forgiveness of sins, that there is no spot in thee. Thou art all fair, my love. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Now, dear friends, these are the saints made a covenant with him by sacrifice. That precious gift of faith, which is the grace of the Holy Spirit, manifest in the heart, that draws them to this sacred truth of the sacred work of Jesus Christ. And he becomes all their glory. He becomes the chiefest among 10,000, the altogether lovely. The sure mercies of David. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. Well, dear friends, that wellness, that well-being, is whilst that sinner continues on in this life, as well as when called to die. For all things are now theirs through the mediation of Jesus Christ. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. You see, dear friends, these righteous ones, they never feel it, that they are righteous. Their righteousness is in Christ alone, what he hath done. And these righteous ones, as they continue on in life, They only learn their sins more and more. As they get older, oh, the power and strength of the iniquity of their heart seems to build up. And, yes, breaks their heart and makes them contrite. Do you know what the word contrite means? The original Hebrew translated as contrite means crushed. Brought completely down to nothing. And spiritually that's in a sense of our sin. It got no goodness in us at all. We're wretched, filthy, undone in the sight of a holy God. Yet the sacrifice of a broken and a contrite heart is acceptable before God, because he pleads for this mercy, these sure mercies of David. He pleads for that which Christ hath come to suffer, bleed and die, to bear away all the sins of his people. We read, don't we, that we are like grass. In the beginning, grass grows up. It's very tender, it's very green, it's very lush. And then it speaks of the flower of the grass. Blossoming in its beauty, in its glory, in its strength. And so it is, doesn't it? As we were young in our very early days, growing up like grass, tender, green, healthy, growing in towards adulthood and the early adulthood, when we have our fullness of our strength and abilities and all that we can do. But then, if days are permitted to us to increase, our weakness of body, our strength begins to fail, our weakness increases, and we come near to our journey's end. Now, dear friends, as we come near our journey's end, oh, be sure that you'll find that sin and iniquity has not decreased. It has only increased. And we only add to our sin daily. But did we sing it on the hymn on the midweek service? When one comes near their journey's end, how precious is their loving friend, whatever the word. I think it was hymn 174, wasn't it? We closed with on Wednesday evening, not knowing that our dear deacon was shortly to pass. As they draw near their journey's end, how precious is their heavenly friend. And when in death they bow their head, he's precious on a dying bed. And dear friends, he's precious all their journey through. From the day he's begun that good work to that day of their journey's end. Dear friends, do you know anything of this beginning? This broken heart, a contrite spirit. Yes, trembling at the word of God because of your sin. Doesn't he give you a hunger and a thirst after the Lord's righteousness? Doesn't he cause you to cry to be saved? Give me Christ, or else I die. Is that not, dear friends, the work of the Holy Spirit? It's not the work of your own heart, is it, which is dreadful, deceitfully wicked? Oh, our hearts within us, dear friends, will assure us of our own goodness, and determined to have our own will and our own ways. But the teaching, oh, but the teaching of the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of the Godhead, brings us to where we are nothing and Christ to be our all and in all. Now these are the righteous. And the righteous, dear friends, upon this earth, as we continue day by day, We'll have many, many ventures to the throne of grace. Because the way of the Lord is not easy. That straight and narrow way. Dear friends, we cannot keep ourselves in it. We've still got these earthly hearts, haven't we? We've still got these self-wills and go our own way and delight ourselves in worldly vanities. But we read so sweetly in that Psalm of David 34. It speaks about the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Dear friends, this is an evidence, isn't it, of the righteous. Their dependence upon the mercy and the goodness of God. David knew what it was, didn't he, to cry unto the Lord in his trouble. Oh, David, escaping from Saul, went his own way. We don't read, he committed it to prayer. Went into the Philistines, thinking he would be safe there. But there the king of Gath threatened that, and David feared for his life. And this psalm is based upon that experience. And this poor man cried. The Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. You see, dear friends, this experience of our sinfulness and dependence upon the Lord for his grace and his goodness and mercy brings us into his tender fear. Fearing lest the Lord would look upon us still on account of our sin, and we be a castaway, and then we'd be in a hopeless case. And this tender fear, dear friends, brings one to whom the Lord hath begun that good work of grace with them, keeps them constantly at the throne of grace, crying unto him in their troubles. And what a sweet word this is. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Call upon me, says the Lord through David. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. Dear friends, the righteous are the ones who glorify God for all that they are and all that they have and all that they hope for. He has all the praise and all the glory, even in times of trouble. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. What? In those times of trouble? Yes, because there's a throne of grace. There's access through Christ, the glorious high priest, who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was tempted in all points such as we are, yet he without sin. To make a way, having borne our sins, our transgressions, to blot them out, make a way to that throne of grace, where through Christ we can plead before Almighty God for the supply of all of our need. And he will not let us be tempted above what we're able to bear. Oh, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. What a deliverance. What a defence. Kept. Kept by the power of God through faith. Unto salvation, ready to be revealed in that last day. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. He saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. The Lord delivereth him out of them all. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. Dear friends, I believe we've seen the evidence of the truth of that in the life of our late dear friend and brother and deacon, Mr. John Roos. A praying man, ever thankful to the Lord for his great mercies that had delivered him, from the way he once went in the ways of sin and had brought him into the way of truth. Dear friends, it was a humble way, wasn't it? A humble way. Completely dependent upon the Lord for all his goodness. And to speak well of him. Oh, how often when we left the house of God. Dear friends, there was that word he spoke by the door, whether to young or to old, concerning the things to the glory of God. And desiring the well-being of your soul. Dear friends, that was through experience. Experience of what he had handled, tasted and felt of the grace of God through the gift of the Spirit. I was often touched when in these last years he'd been so under great affliction. And we said here, many are the afflictions of the righteous. He was afflicted through the affliction of his dear wife with her a mental state. What patience he had. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience. Experience, hope. Hope that maketh not ashamed, because the love of God was shed abroad in his heart. He often said to me how he had to pray to the Lord at the throne of grace that he be kept in the word here in Ecclesiastes 7 verse 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. For anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Dear friends, when we saw things which went on and the sadness and the weakness of Margaret's mind, how easily one could be angry, impatient, and to speak unadvisedly. But dear friends, we found the Lord ruling his heart, keeping it upright in his desire. We don't say he was completely faultless. He wouldn't say that at all. But he had to depend upon the Lord to rule his heart and mind and keep him in the way in which he should go as a true witness of the power of God within him. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. He feared. He feared to fall. He feared to come into the ways of sin. He feared to act ungraciously. What do we read in Ecclesiastes? Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God. Which fear before him, it shall be well. Dear friends, the fear of the Lord, the exercise of that in our lives through the influence of the Spirit and the righteous are one and the same. Our righteousness, not of ourselves, is that precious gift of God through the gift of his Son, whereby we cry, Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Dear friends, this is the standard. if it is to be well with our souls when we are called to die. It's something we cannot give ourselves. It's something we cannot attain in the least to us with ourselves. It's our whole dependence, isn't it, upon the Lord, for his great mercy toward us, for his love toward us. To be led by his Spirit. We read, don't we, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Oh, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. The work of his grace. That a sinner may be made righteous. Dear friends, we meet today in sorrow, in sadness. But we also meet to the honour and glory of God, who hath raised a sinner from the pit in which we are born, in which John was born. A beggar, made a beggar on the dunghill, pleading for mercy, raised now to sit amongst the princes, the sons of God, to dwell with him forevermore. Dear friends, this is the gospel, isn't it, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without him, we can do nothing, we are nothing. This one thing needful. Oh, Jesus spoke that of Mary, who sat at his feet, desiring to hear his voice. And that desire, dear friends, was fulfilled. He said it would never be taken away from her. Once in him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. Say ye to the righteous, oh, that it shall be well with him. They shall eat of the fruit of their doings. Dear friends, we read, don't we, that the evidence of the righteous is in their walk. They're led by the Spirit of God. They walk in the Spirit of the Lord. They walk in love as Christ hath loved them. And they shall abide forever in that love. Well, dear friends, may such experience be ours. We in the midst of this sin-cursed earth, surrounded by it, a sinful hearts. Oh, the nature of this chapter 3 of Isaiah. May we find comfort. May we find our resting place in the truth of this word. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him. Dear friends, may it well be with us. May the Lord grant us the knowledge of that divine sacred covenant, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, to cleanse us from all our sin. Amen.